Freedom is good. Liberty is good. Capitalism is good. Tony Katz is spectacular.
Tonight on our great, great American panel, he's a radio talk show host, Tea Party organizer. He's based in Los Angeles. Tony Katz is here.
This is the Tony Katz Radio Spectacular.
Nay, I believe, will rule that the individual mandate is indeed unconstitutional, because of course it is unconstitutional.
The views expressed on the Tony Katz Radio Spectacular are not necessarily those of the station you are listening to, even though they really, really should be.
And that's President Obama. He is completely devoid of the ravages of thought.
Now sit back, light up a guilt-free cigar, and let's start the show!
And a happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Welcome one and all to the Tony Katz Radio Show. I am Tony Katz. The pleasure is mine, like you would not and could not possibly believe. 805-639-0008, 805-639-0008. The phone lines are open as we talk about last night's presidential debate, the big story being Newt Gingrich. Is he soft on illegal immigration? Does he have the right idea? Your thoughts, 805-639-0008. I'll be sure to give mine. Have no fear. But it is Wednesday, so joining us right now, he is the dean of the College of Business at Bellevue University, Bellevue, BelleVue.edu. Rod Hewlett is with us. Rod, good to have you here, my friend.
Happy Thanksgiving. Great to be with you, Tony.
Absolutely. We've been having these ongoing conversations about capitalism and open markets, and we've been through definitions, and we went through the entire conversation of state capitalism, as you see in China, as people here would like to bring about, where government has far more control of the means of production and the methods of production. But I got to get into a conversation regarding Occupy Wall Street and something that happened to me over the weekend. There I am on Fox and Friends, and I said something that I thought was just standard operating procedure. I really and truly did. And I have opened up the floodgates of commentary. Let me tell you what I said.
All right.
What I said is that in this conversation of income equality, and I was asked about getting a job in America, and can you say to people, just go out and get a job? And what I said is that it's a twofold conversation, because it's never necessarily easy to get a job, but it's impossible if you don't look. And I then went on to say, there's no such thing as income inequality. I'm quoting myself here. A stockbroker makes more than a school teacher, and a school teacher exists off the excesses of the stockbroker and the capitalist and people who pay into the system to allow the educator to exist. I'm not talking about in their life. I'm talking about as a profession. So let me ask you, Rod Hewlett, as we continue these conversations about capitalism, first things first, is there such a thing as income inequality?
No. Simple answer.
Okay, well, that was easy enough.
You know why?
Of course I want to know why. No, I just want the one-word answer. It's radio. The last thing we want to do is explain ourselves.
No. It's really pretty straightforward. Remember we talked about markets, and we said that value flows from the customer. Ultimately, it's people meeting each other's needs. There's buyers, there's sellers. And the buyer is who determines value. What we pay people to help us, capital, if you will, to retain them, is what it takes to meet the customer's needs. Now, if the customer needs something quick and cheap and innocent, that's what the price is. That's what the salaries are, especially as you look at the value chain of value for the customer meeting the customer's needs. If you got a mail clerk, if you got somebody basically that's sweeping the floor and they're keeping the place clean, and the market rate for these people is $8, $9 an hour, there you go. That's it. Now, if you got someone designing the product who's meeting their needs, and the market rate for that person is $15 to $25 an hour, and it usually requires a good bit of education to get those kind of people, that's the rate.
The conversation that you're having is about the market dictating the price or the value of a service rendered. This is something that drives the hardcore leftist progressives and the Occupy crowd crazy when they see CEOs getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. That, you're also saying, isn't income inequality, that the CEO obviously gets paid that for a specific reason.
And here's the problem with the logic that you're talking about, and I'm going to hit two key points. First, one of the greatest moral philosophers I ever had, my drill sergeant, when I was a 17-year-old trainee in basic training. I complained about something, and I said it wasn't fair. And this whole notion of income equality is about this fair point. You know what he said to me, Tony?
What?
He said, fair is the place where you ride rides and eat cotton candy.
And all right, well,
and
that is drill sergeant kind of philosophy, without a question. But this fairness methodology...
It's not fair that some people go off to war. It's not fair that the world is what it is, but the world is what it is. If you're looking for fairness, and everybody has an opinion of what fair is, then you're going to twist yourself in circles trying to define it. In fact, it doesn't have a definition. It's all relational, and it's all based on opinion. If you're talking about market, where people interacting with each other, buying and selling things, determine the going price and determine the value of things, that's a much more impartial thing. It's based on meeting people's needs. There's no other way to get around it. That's
the
world circulating.
I will tell you that I have forever and a day now. I am not interested in fairness. I'm interested in what is just. I'm a huge believer.
Yeah, you just said it. That's the $10,000 word. We live in a world where we should be concerned about what's just and unjust, not what's fair and unfair. One is a state of, and there's definitional ways to get to just. There is no definitional way to get to fair. So economists, good economists, we look at market value based on the ultimate determiner of value, and that's the customer. That's basically it. If McDonald's paid everybody $30 an hour because someone said, hey, that's fair, then nobody would buy their hamburgers and they'd go out of business.
Well, let me give you this then. Let me give you this. I have gotten this comment of what I said. Let me see if I can find it in its exact form. People have said, I'll paraphrase. Well, the point is, it's actually the opposite. When I said that it was the school teacher, the teacher who makes their living, who exists off of the excesses of the stockbroker and the capitalist, because I was using the stockbroker vis-a-vis the Occupy Wall Street comparison. They believe, no, it's just the opposite. The capitalist exists because of the worker. Which one of us is right?
It's pretty simple. When you look back when we were hunters and gatherers, did we have government? No, we didn't have government. Why? Because every ounce of our time was spent on hunting and gathering food, and so there was no government. There was no people where there was a surplus capital created so that you could have a government, you could have people teaching, you could have people working with the excess value created, the store of extra value created. It was only when we got into an agricultural society and people, in fact, started to have land, they started to settle down, and there was a surplus crop where they could pay for people to be in government. They could pay for people to teach their children. They could pay for services. They could pay for roads. So if you look at it, the people who actually created value in the old days, the agricultural worker, the farmer, the consumer, the town guy, the guy that made the boots, they created the excess value that government, in many cases when you're talking about school teachers, you're talking especially K-12 about government, they were there to do the services that of course, were with the specialization of labor that were no longer logical for mom and dad to do, and now were available. And that's the story, that's the march of progress. It's excess value created in that buying and selling of goods and services in need. The capital, the capitalist, the excess capital that allows us to have great universities, to have teachers. Ask yourself why in low capital countries they don't have great universities, they don't have an abundance of teachers, because there's not an excess of capital created that can underwrite them. The answer is evident. It's obvious. If you don't understand history, you could make the opposite argument.
Rod Hewlett, Dean of the College of Business at Bellevue University. Can you hang through the break? Because I do have another question for you.
Absolutely.
Stay with us. Much more to come. This is the Tony Katz Radio Show on the All Patriots Media Network.
Greetings. You give me that funny feeling in my tummy.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom450.com. Get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom450.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 450.com. Freedom450.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Are your cable rates rising? Tired of being pushed around by your provider? It's time to push back. Cut the cable and get Dish Network installed with absolutely no equipment to buy. Here's the best part. Packages start at just $24.99 a month for an entire year. That's right. Call now and get Dish Network installed free. Plus your choice of HBO, Cinemax, or Stars free for 3 months. If you call in right now, Dish Network will also throw in free HD for life. PMG Dish, a Dish Network authorized retailer, is waiting for your call and can have you watching TV as soon as tomorrow. Call 800-824-3268. Imagine all your favorite movies, sports, and shows in crystal clear digital quality for far less money, and you won't have to deal with the cable company anymore. At only $24.99 per month, they're practically giving it away. Call now for full details. Call 800-824-3268. That's 800-824-3268. Again, 800-824-3268. Limited time offer, prices, packages, and programming subject to change without notice. 24-month agreement required. Cancellation fees, auto pay, and paperless billing, and other restrictions apply. Call for details.
If you're a techno geek, you go to parties and recite the number of visitors to your website and rank what browsers they use to find it. If you're not a geek, you need someone to worry about your website. Wildcat Web Services focus on your website so you don't have to. They have designed many websites for Fortune 1000 and mom and pop companies. Wildcat Web Services is always on time and on budget. Check them out at www.wildcat.la or call 866-370-6218.
The Tony Katz radio show continues, 805-639-0008. Chat room is open. The conversation is lively. Do not deny yourself. AllPatriotsMedia.com is where you go to. Click on the listen link or in any browser across the land, AllPatriotsMedia.com/listen. Joined now by Rod Hewlett, the Dean of the College of Business at Bellevue University. Find out more about Bellevue at bellevue.edu, B-E-L-L-E-V-U-E. .edu. Dean Hewlett, we have been talking about capitalism, and we're going to continue to have these conversations, but since I was there on Fox, engaged in this conversation, I figured I'd ask you about it. I asked the first question about income inequality. Let me get to the part two that has people all a flutter.
All right.
A stockbroker makes more than a school teacher, and a school teacher exists off the excesses of the stockbroker, and the capitalist and people who pay into the system that allow the educator to exist. So you already had this conversation about how it's self-evident. It's an obvious thing. How do you explain to people who say that, like I was talking about, that the capitalist exists because of the worker? I have put together this analysis in my head, and I want you to tell me if it's right or wrong. If a bunch of workers got together, if I said I'm hiring a bunch of workers and a bunch of workers showed up.
Right.
If I don't give them something to do, how do they expect to make money as workers? That's my question to those who think that the workers are the most important part.
Tony, what you're really hitting on is something that we've known for about 150 years. Economics back in the old classical age, which was, some of the early writings of Adam Smith, certainly Karl Marx, was based on the idea that the value of a product, and they couldn't figure out why nothing worked in this model. It's like, it's back when the scientists thought that the Earth was the center of the universe, not the sun. The same thing applies to the classical school of thought, where they thought the worker was the source of value. the worker provided the value, and that was the determination of the price of the product. The problem is they couldn't come up with a model mathematically or in practice that actually functioned that way. It's only in 1870 with the Marginalist Revolution where the world got turned on its head, where the Austrian school came out of, the neoclassical economics, where we understood that the value is created by not only the consumer, but the marginal purchaser of a product. And that's in all markets. And guess what? We started to understand economics, and we started to understand markets, and we started to understand that the customer determined value and was at the center of that universe. So the people who argue that workers are the center of the value equation, now we're not talking about humans and the value of a human. We're talking about work, a tangible trade of service in the marketplace. And so if you're talking about that, since 1870, we've known the answer for that, and that's exactly how we've been able to come to this level of sophistication, understanding marketplace, consumers, and capital that we have today. That argument goes back, 130, 140 years. That answer's been answered. So it's warmed over Marxists that you're listening to when people talk about the worker being the center of the value paradigm. It's not. It's the consumer. And if you don't believe me, look at the $5 million athlete. What would happen to the $5 million athlete if people stopped buying sweatshirts, stopped buying shirts, and stopped buying tickets? They would be nothing.
So my conversation, of course, is about this ancillary effect that the wealth creators have. And I think that's the point. And I look forward to your thoughts on this as we continue to talk with Dean Rod Hewlett. He is the Dean of the College of Business at Bellevue University, bellevue.edu. When I have these conversations and people come at me with such vitriol, I mean, I'll send you some of the comments if you want. They're classy, as they say in the biz, sir. You get the feeling that they truly believe that wealth is finite, where I believe wealth is infinite. You can create your own.
Absolutely. In fact, the old people let's go back to an old argument again that's been disproved over and over. It gets into the people that argue about energy. It gets, oil, the whole nine yards. The Malthusian argument that population grows geometrically, and food supply was only going to grow arithmetically at the beginning of the 19th century. Now, Malthus has been, of course, was in his own day and time, he was demonstrated that he was wrong. Today, we've got 7 billion people running around the face of the earth, and there's fewer people than ever because of capital and the use of capital in the farm and agricultural and the food production sector. Fewer people producing more food for everyone. This whole nonsense that everything is finite is Malthusian. And it was like we were going to run out of oil in 1970. Well, what made the difference? Knowledge and capital made the difference. Intellectual capital, human capital, and financial and physical capital made the difference.
So how would you...
Over and over.
How would you explain to them? Because when you take a look at how they're responding, they believe... and this is an important thing to kind of go over, that the world is not a finite pie where everybody has to get their sliver. The pie is infinite. Wealth growth is infinite. Opportunity is infinite if indeed you're allowed to exercise your own ability and you live by a moral code, which I believe that the Constitution provides and open markets provide. But how would you, in a Thanksgiving table conversation, remember the amount of people listening right now who are going to be at the Thanksgiving table tomorrow, and a conversation like this is going to come up, how do you create that conversation? Can you do it in 60 seconds or less?
Yes. Heavenly Father, excuse me for anybody gets offended, I give thanks for the opportunity to become an educated person and contribute in this world, to serve other people's needs, and for that which they put on my table in my salary for serving their needs. Simple, to the point.
You did it in a prayer.
Giving spirit.
Who does it in a prayer?
Oh, my God, we can't do that, can we?
Well, wait, we have a capitalist, an open market guy who's also into prayer. I thought that you were just money-hungry slugs who would kill your mother for a nickel.
Absolutely not. In fact, if you think about it, you think about the five forms of capital we talked about and several we just enunciated. The growth of capital is about the growth of people and the growth of opportunity. Capitalism is an optimistic message that has its very roots in natural law, going back, the concept going back to the Christian movement. And if you fact, you think about the original scholars of capitalism, they were Catholics, and they were from the school, University of Salamanca, the late Scholastics. They were the ones that came up with a lot of these concepts.
I love the fact that you did it with a prayer. That's too cool for school. Let me ask you one political question, which I never get to ask, but you know the debate was last night. What was a big foreign policy debate, not an economic policy debate. Do you have any of the candidates you're looking at on the GOP side where you think that one of them has a breakout or a powerful or an important, worthwhile economic policy you think would be best for the nation?
You know, honestly, right now, there's a lot of sound bites going on. The several things that I like that they're saying is, number one, none of them are going to get crazy with trying to increase taxes or suck off capital and let the government determine rather than the market determine. So I like that approach. The second thing that I like is that they, in fact, think that you've got to shrink the government down to a realistic level. The thing that I don't like is you get Ron Paul talking about, you know, gold standards and things like that. You know, let's be honest with you. The gold standard hasn't worked, never has worked, and you could fill up an Olympic swimming pool with basically the level of gold in society. You've got to get off to, if you want rules and you want a commodity-based basket of controlling your money supply, it makes a lot of sense. I'm looking for someone to come back, and I haven't seen it emerge yet with the Republicans, come back with a common sense on how we're going to cut costs, how we're going to grow capital, and not let the government be the center of that government capital growth. And I haven't heard an argument yet, a well-articulated argument. Romney hints at it. Gingrich says one thing that's really great, then he turns around and says something that confuses me. And so I haven't really seen
part of his charm.
So the full message hasn't really emerged for me yet.
Dean Rod Hewlett, he is the dean of the College of Business at Bellevue University, Bellevue, B-E-L-L-E-V-U-E, Bellevue.edu. Sir, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much.
More to come. Craig Robinson up in a little bit, the Iowa Republican, to talk about the GOP debate. We will get into Newt's position on immigration, and then the greatest tech buys of 2011. Don't go anywhere. The Tony Katz radio show continues on the All Patriots Media Network.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom450.com. Get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom450.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 450.com. Freedom450.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Are your cable rates rising? Tired of being pushed around by your provider? It's time to push back. Cut the cable and get Dish Network installed with absolutely no equipment to buy. Here's the best part. Packages start at just $24.99 a month for an entire year. That's right. Call now and get Dish Network installed free. Plus your choice of HBO, Cinemax, or Stars free for 3 months. If you call in right now, Dish Network will also throw in free HD for life. PMG Dish, a Dish Network authorized retailer, is waiting for your call and can have you watching TV as soon as tomorrow. Call 800-824-3268. Imagine all your favorite movies, sports, and shows in crystal clear digital quality for far less money, and you won't have to deal with the cable company anymore. At only $24.99 per month, they're practically giving it away. Call now for full details. Call 800-824-3268. That's 800-824-3268. Again, 800-824-3268. Limited time offer, prices, packages, and programming subject to change without notice. 24-month agreement required. Cancellation fees, auto pay, and paperless billing and other restrictions apply. Call for details.
If you were to die today, what would your family do? Hello, my name is Steve Mora, with Conejo Mountain Funeral Home, Memorial Park, and Crematory. We are more than just pictures and words. It's our business. By planning ahead, you help ensure that someone you love will never have to go through the decision-making process alone. So please call us at 482-1959 or go to Conejo Mountain Funeral Home and Memorial Park.com. Thank you.
If you're a techno geek, you go to parties and recite the number of visitors to your website and rank what browsers they use to find it. If you're not a geek, you need someone to worry about your website. Wildcat Web Services focus on your website so you don't have to. They have designed many websites for Fortune 1000 and mom and pop companies. Wildcat Web Services is always on time and on budget. Check them out at www.wildcat.la or call 866-370-6218.
The Tony Katz Radio Show continues. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. 80, you know, I never remember to talk about holidays. I miss everything all the time. I'm so into it. I don't know, today I'm all over it. Today I'm all about paying attention. 805-639-0008, 805-639-008. Your calls, appreciators. We discuss Newt Gingrich and the immigration plan. Yesterday's debate, which, by the way, I said it was Rick Santorum's time to shine. Not enough shining from Rick Santorum. Got himself pegged into a corner. By the way, there is nothing wrong with saying that you believe in profiling. There's nothing wrong with saying that you believe that profiling works, because it does work. It's a question of what you mean by profiling. We need to profile terrorists. We need to profile people who want to do us harm. That's who we need to be profiling, and we need to change the way we deal with the entire TSA by dismantling the TSA as we know it now and moving to a system that isn't worried about whether or not you take off your shoes or your belt or somebody feels up your crotch. It's about knowing what to look for. This is an education conversation, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know why that candidates can't talk just like that. Just like that. But one of the people who did try to talk just like that was Newt Gingrich, who last night in the debate had a conversation that could be taken as about amnesty. Could be taken as about giving people the pathway to citizenship. But that's not actually what Gingrich said. That's what people want to glean off of it. What Gingrich discussed was the idea that so many who support the DREAM Act want to discuss, is that people who come here illegally when they're 3 years old don't know that they're here illegally and shouldn't be treated like an illegal and shouldn't be forced back to wherever they came from. They should be given a pathway. You do this, you do that, you do this. Let me see if I have it here. The DREAM Act, which is known as the Development, Relief, and Education for Alien Minors Act. Under the 2009 version of the Senate bill, DREAM Act beneficiaries have to have proof of having arrived in the United States before age 16, proof of residence in the United States for at least 5 consecutive years since the date of their arrival, if they're males, register with the Selective Service, between the ages of 12 and 35 at the time of the bill enactment, have graduated from a high school, obtained a GED, or been admitted to an institution of higher education, and be of good moral character. The problem with the DREAM Act is exactly the problem with Obamacare. Go with me on this. It's that if you could say, like Newt Gingrich said, the part I like in the DREAM Act is X, you could actually say the part I like about Obamacare, or the thing I like about, you know, healthcare reform, is that you can buy insurance across state lines. But you don't put forth these huge, monstrous bills to get to the thing you like. And you certainly don't vote for them because you like one thing. You do exactly what I believe every single candidate is doing, is that you strip them bare, you rip them out. You rip them out. Now, Holly, I was using it as an example. I wasn't referring specifically to the healthcare bill. I was talking about people who talk about healthcare reform. One of the things that they like, for example, is the ability to buy across state lines. I happen to be a fan of that as well. But you wouldn't pass Obamacare because that was in there. You know, you don't like one thing and therefore you take all the other crap that goes with it. You completely rip it all down And then you go after the legislation or the common sense mentality that makes sense. You agree with me on that, Holly?
Yes, yes.
Okay, good. Just making sure. Well, this is what I believe Newt Gingrich is talking about. What Newt Gingrich was talking about yesterday was the idea that, first of all, let's never forget that beyond the smartest kid in the room, he just laid down the gauntlet to the Hispanic community in a way that is unbelievably telling. He's here to win an election. No question about it that the Obama administration heard that and said, oh, are you kidding me? And it was said with a lot more four-letter words than that. Are you kidding me? Newt is going to take this voting block from us? Oh, crap. Guaranteed, it got said in the White House, in quarters of the Obama administration, everywhere. He's politicking. He's politicking very, very well. But he brought forth an interesting idea that the party of the family is now going to break up families. That's not a smart maneuver. People said that it was very close to Perry saying you don't have a heart. I didn't see it that way. I didn't see it that way at all. I thought it was a well-thought-out conversation. Here is where I disagree with people. And I disagree with people that I like. This is an article on BigGovernment.com by John Nolte. He is actually the editor of Big Hollywood. He wrote wrote this. Talk radio host Dennis Prager once made a point about this issue that's worth repeating. Every day throughout Southern California, thousands of illegals gather outside Home Depots everywhere, looking for someone to pick them up and give them day labor. Every day, who knows how many housewives pick up these illegals and take them home alone to do that day labor. And yet you never hear about a rape or robbery or murder in these circumstances. Never. I would disagree with both John Nolte and Dennis Prager, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for Dennis Prager. That's based on a belief. That's not necessarily based on a fact. And by the way, I reject that housewives go out there and pick up day laborers at Home Depot. I reject that wholeheartedly. Holly Bacon, is Mr. Bacon letting you, saying to you, hey, why don't you just go down to Home Depot, pick up a couple of guys to paint the house?
No, that would not happen.
Okay. That's number one. Here's number two. He writes, but Newt Gingrich is absolutely right that of the 11 or 12 million illegals currently living in the country, many have lived here for years and are part of a community and part of a family that deportation would tear apart. Are we really prepared to do that? That goes in line with people who say, are we prepared to go find 11 million illegals and deport them? We don't have the capacity for that. I don't accept that either. Because we have the capacity in the United States to put our IRS, our tax enforcement people, to work going after every nook and cranny of every nook and cranny. I also have said in this program, and I don't backtrack from the things that I say unless someone can turn me around, that you might not be able to get all 11 million, but can't you get 5 million? Can't you at least start? Can't you at least try? I believe that you can. I absolutely believe that you can. So I read this article. I think it's a very, very good article, but I do disagree. I disagree with the idea that you can't get all of the illegal invaders out of the United States. I wholeheartedly disagree with that. I reject the premise. It is not out of the realm of possibility. Period. I will say that Newt Gingrich has put forth the argument in a better way. This isn't the Dream Act. He was specific about not being a pathway to amnesty or to citizenship, which I am in favor of, and he brought up the Reagan conversation to show that Reagan got hosed, Reagan got screwed, that Gingrich learned from this, and he won't let that happen to him. It starts with a secure border and then moves into creating this kind of situation for this specific type of entity, these people who have been here. That's an interesting conversation. Let me bring on now, from beautiful, scenic downtown Ankeny, Iowa, the Iowa GOPer himself, the publisher of the iowarepublican.com, Craig Robinson. Craig, how does Gingrich's remarks on immigration play in Iowa?
Well, I think they're going to create a problem for him in Iowa. We've already seen the immigration issue once this year kind of wreak havoc with Rick Perry's campaign. It really kind of stunted his growth right out of the gate. So, you know, even though Iowa is in the middle of the heartland, the immigration issue is one that when it becomes kind of a national discussion, whether that be a presidential election or whether that be Arizona's legislation that they passed last year, that is an issue that people get very passionate about. And I think Gingrich is going to find some difficulty in Iowa because of his comments in last night's debate.
But he said he was very honest. He said, listen, I know I'm going to get heat for it. I'll take it. He isn't going to back away from it. And I would argue that Perry's problem was that he said you don't have a heart. I think that Gingrich, if he thought about going there, that was a mistake. And I think he could have used a better word choice than humane. But he didn't move in that direction.
No, I agree. I think that, you know, I was just listening to your comments, and I think you put it very well. I mean, this isn't the Dream Act, but the one thing you have to remember is you know, giving citizenship or letting people come into our country illegally and rewarding them with basically the full rights of an American citizen is still a magnet, and that is the point that Michelle Bachmann and Mitt Romney made in last night's debate. And so while it's not giving someone something tangible like in-state college tuition, we are still providing them all the social welfare network that we provide the people of this country. And so it is still a magnet, and I think that's where Gingrich is going to take some heat.
Well, I also would say that he was discussing what they provide, and he wants to, you know, figure that out on the local level to try and not make it so much of a federal mandate. That what he thinks are those parameters, what those parameters would be, that would be an interesting conversation. But take a look at the whole debate yesterday, Craig Robinson, theiowarepublican.com. Who won? Who?
I think Michelle Bachmann won. Number one is because through that immigration debate, she was able to score some political points against Gingrich, someone who she needs to deal with here in Iowa. And I think that besides the immigration issue, I think that she came off as very knowledgeable on those issues. I think that Mitt Romney was knowledgeable but unimpressive. Rick Santorum, when he was given the chance to actually address the question, I thought showed some very serious, well-thought positions. On the other end, I think that, I'll just say it. I think Ron Paul is absolutely crazy when we start talking about foreign policy. And I know that'll light up your phones, and I'm glad I'm only going to be on for a few minutes. And then I think that Herman Cain just, you know, shows that he lives in the shallow end of the pool when it comes to foreign policy issues.
No, it was not a great night for Kane, although I've heard some people say, hey, he didn't do too bad, you know, as if somehow that's a way of saying you did terrific. Well, you didn't suck today. That's no way to go about it. Paul has had so much time now to discuss his thesis and his theories on foreign policy that you now have to decide whether or not you're part of the Paul Doctrine. And I think that Newt Gingrich said it best when this conversation came out about Timothy McVeigh, that Timothy McVeigh succeeded, and that's the problem. I think that was a very telling moment for America. Oh, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about it in the theoretical. We're talking about this in the actual. Yes, Timothy McVeigh succeeded. We shouldn't let that happen again. And as for Santorum, I'll say it this way. I said yesterday, I was very clear. This was Santorum's time to shine. He could really make a run for being that vice presidential nominee. He did not do it.
No, I agree with that. I think that when it comes to foreign policy, he has the chops to do it, but I just don't think that he had the opportunities and in terms of the questions. And I agree. He was kind of an afterthought along with Rick Perry and the others that I didn't mention.
In Iowa, will Gingrich continue to be the front runner? Will they fall to Romney as nothing else we can do? Or can somebody come back and take Iowa?
It's going to be fascinating to watch. I mean, the one thing that Gingrich really does have momentum here in Iowa. He doesn't have an organization, but he has a lot of people who think that this is the messenger that they want, which is, I think, interesting on multiple levels. And it's going to be difficult for him to sustain this, but if anyone can, I think it's him. I mean, he's not going to back down in a debate. And as you mentioned with Perry, I think that's half of his problem, you know, where he gets criticized and he kind of backtracks, where Gingrich is just, he's not going to blink. He's going to keep moving forward. So I still think Gingrich is a very serious person in Iowa. I think Romney, we're seeing Romney reemerge in Iowa, that he's actually going to campaign here. That's going to be interesting. And I think the other person to look for is, who is the social conservative that's going to emerge? Because right now, it's, you know, there's like two or three of them, and only one of them is going to survive and really make a challenge. And so we have to see if that's Bachman, if that's Santorum, or if that's Perry.
Greg Robinson, the Iowa Republican. .com, young man, happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you very soon.
You too. Take care.
Stay with us. Ben Friedman of Neophyte TV up next. The best tech buys of 2011. The Tony Katz Radio Show continues on the All Patriots Media Network.
Are your cable rates rising? Tired of being pushed around by your provider? It's time to push back. Cut the cable and get Dish Network installed with absolutely no equipment to buy. Here's the best part. Packages start at just $24.99 a month for an entire year. That's right. Call now and get Dish Network installed free. Plus your choice of HBO, Cinemax, or Stars free for 3 months. If you call in right now, Dish Network will also throw in free HD for life. PMG Dish, a Dish Network authorized retailer, is waiting for your call and can have you watching TV as soon as tomorrow. Call 800-824-3268. Imagine all your favorite movies, sports, and shows in crystal clear digital quality for far less money, and you won't have to deal with the cable company anymore. At only $24.99 per month, they're practically giving it away. Call now for full details. Call 800-824-3268. That's 800-824-3268. Again, 800-824-3268. Limited time offer, prices, packages, and programming subject to change without notice. 24-month agreement required. Cancellation fees, auto pay, and paperless billing, and other restrictions apply. Call for details.
Want a free computer? Listen up. For 16 years, Cosmic Sales has been one of Southern California's hidden jewels, providing refurbished Dell computers and parts to local schools and businesses. And now, we're open to the public, too. To celebrate, we're giving away 5 free computers each Saturday morning this fall. The first 5 people who visit Cosmic Sales on Saturday mornings will receive a free refurbished computer. Now, the monitor, keyboard, and mouse are sold separately. Cosmic Sales is located at 28757 Industry Drive in Valencia, and we're open to the public from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, and from 9 to 2 on Saturdays. Business owners, you can check out our wholesale pricing online at www.computer-show.com. That's www.computer-show.com. And don't forget the dash. If you're looking for high-quality, refurbished, brand-name computers, make sure you visit Cosmic Sales. We've been one of the Southland's best-kept secrets for 16 years, but the secret is out now. If you got questions, call us toll-free at 877-800-SHOW. That's 877-800-SHOW. We'll see you at Cosmic Sales.
One computer per family, first 5 people in line. Offer ends December 24th, 2011.
If you're a techno geek, you go to parties and recite the number of visitors to your website and rank what browsers they use to find it. If you're not a geek, you need someone to worry about your website. Wildcat Web Services focus on your website so you don't have to. They have designed many websites for Fortune 1000 and mom-and-pop companies. Wildcat Web Services is always on time and on budget. Check them out at www.wildcat.la or call 866-370-6218.
Over the coming days and weeks, you will hear me talking more about House Bill 1639 and Senate Bill 1461. Those would be the traditional cigar manufacturing and small business jobs preservation act of 2011, a way of not treating cigars like cigarettes, because they ain't the same thing. The Tony Katz Radio Show continues, 805-639-0008. It is Thanksgiving Eve, Black Friday, just 24 hours away. It happens Thanksgiving night, ladies and gentlemen. Friday is on Thursday, up is down, left is a banana. It's mass hysteria out there. Joining us right now to give us the best bets for this holiday season the oldest guest in the history of my radio career. And he is the host of Neophytes, neo-fight.tv, the tech guy extraordinaire, Ben Friedman. Ben, what's happening, my friend?
How are you doing today, sir? Did you see the latest proclamation from the Occupy Wall Street folks?
Oh, they're going to occupy nothing. They're going to occupy Christmas by buying nothing. Are they going to hang out in the stores?
That's the idea. They want to. They're encouraging their supporters now to actually go to retailers on Black Friday. By the way, it prefers to be called Friday of Color now. And they want you to go and sit in there and not buy anything. Or I don't know if they'll go there early just so they can get the best deals and then stop anyone else from buying anything. But that's the latest thing they're trying to. They're trying to stick it to the Black Friday shoppers, I guess. The other 1% of us that try to get cheap deals on Black Friday.
No, they're going to try and keep us from buying things by loitering and breaking the law and then getting infuriated when they get pepper sprayed. I have nothing for them in this case. Go, and if you want to buy what you will, and don't allow anybody to intimidate you. Or you can be like a Ben and just wait for Cyber Monday, folks. You can do that, too. But you have them, the top five in the big five technology categories. You only got a few minutes. Ben Friedman, Neophyte, neo-fight.tv. Start us off.
Well, of course, you can't talk about tech deals without talking about Apple. And, of course, Apple has a Black Friday deal every year, but it's one of the more modest deals. But you can get, for instance, an iPad for $458 instead of $499. So it's about 10% off. And, in fact, if you want to buy a computer or a laptop at Apple, you're also going to get about 10% off there. So it's a fairly modest deal. But generally, Apple doesn't have sales at all, so I guess you're getting some sale as opposed to no sale. But if you're not so inclined to jump on the Apple bandwagon, there are some awesome deals in some of the other tech categories. For instance, do you have a Best Buy in your neighborhood there, Tony?
Well, I live in America, so the answer is yes.
That's right. So you can get some great deals. They've got the Toshiba L77S laptop. It's normally about $500, but they're offering it for $350. On Black Friday. If you prefer Lenovo, which is a very popular business brand, their 15.6-inch laptop, usually $449, just $180. Now, of course, with these sort of deals, you're going to have to show up early, so a lot of these stores, by the way, open at midnight now on Friday. So, you know, you basically get your turkey, you go to sleep early, you eat turkey at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you go to bed at 4:30 in the afternoon on Thursday, you get up at 11 o'clock and you go down, and if you're not too unlucky, you'll sit in that line and be one of the first people in to get a deal.
To make it easy on myself, I started Thanksgiving 30 minutes ago. So.
That's right. I've actually been camping out at Best Buy for the last 3.5 weeks. So I'm calling
you
from Best Buy right now.
Nicely done.
They also have a great deal on desktops. The 20-inch HP desktop, AMD dual core, usually about $700, will be going for $400. So again, not quite half off, but pretty darn close for some of these.
Right.
Office Max, if you happen to be of the one of those few employed people in the country and you like going to Office Max, they've got some great deals as well on peripherals. So, for instance, they've got the Canon MX870 color inkjet printer, normally $250. It's wireless, Wi-Fi, no wires. You don't have to hook it up to anything. It connects to your router. It's going for $80. $80 down from $250.
That's a good deal.
So that's a pretty sweet deal. If you want an all-in-one, one of those things that does the faxes and copies and scans, and you prefer laser to inkjet, they've got the Brother MFC 7460, which is also a great little laser printer. Normally $250, it's on for $150. Jumping over I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm going to say, get me. We went through computers. We got the peripherals.
Yeah.
Get me into the things that people buy, TVs
right.
And gaming systems.
You're looking for a big TV, a nice TV for your shack there?
Who isn't?
Get yourself a 51-inch plasma from Samsung, normally about $1,000. It's going at Best Buy at $648. That's a great deal. If you don't need a TV that big, the smaller, under 50-inch category has come way down in price lately and are even going to be even lower on Black Friday. You can get a 46-inch Westinghouse 1080p LCD, normally about $550. It'll be under $300, $298 for that.
Wow.
So you get some great deals there. Can we talk about gaming for a moment? I know you've got some hardcore gamers in your audience, I'm sure. I know Holly.
You got 90 seconds. Go to it.
Holly's a radical gamer. PlayStation
Holly's crazy.
3, 160 gigabyte PlayStation 3, normally about $370. At Best Buy, it'll be $200 on Friday. And the Xbox, if you like your Microsoft guy, the Xbox 360, normally $249, will be just $150.
About the Wii? Isn't there a new Wii coming out?
There's not a new Wii coming out that I've heard of. And the Wii is kind of, that's for sort of, non-hardcore gamers. Hardcore gamers want the PlayStation or the Xbox, okay? But little girls that play Tetris, they want the Wii.
Why are you so hateful?
I'm not. Last thing I want to get out before I run out of time. AT&T Samsung Galaxy S smartphone, Galaxy S2, my current personal favorite Android smartphone on the market right now, Radio Shack. Radio Shack will be selling it with a contract for $50 on Black Friday. That is the smartphone to have right now.
Now, this is the Samsung, which one is it?
Galaxy S2.
Why is it the phone to have?
It's got a big screen. It's fast. It's the dual core. It's got all the new features, with the GPS and all that stuff. It uses the faster network to get really fast download speeds. I really love the screen. It's got this OLED screen that is very, very bright, very, very sharp, looks great, movies, videos. It's a big screen, 4.6 inches, so it's great to watch videos on, if you're on the plane or what have you.
In 10 seconds or less, do I get an Apple iPad or can I get away with a tablet that runs Android? The Toshiba has one, a couple others.
Personally, right now, the best deal on tablets, I would go with the Kindle Fire. It does 90% of everything the iPad does. It's $199.
There it is. His name is Ben Friedman, Neo, Neo-Fight, FIGHT.TV, Neo-Fight.TV. Ben, thank you so much. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Let's get you back soon.
You too, sir.
And for all of you, a fantastic Thanksgiving. Don't let anybody push you around if you want to do some shopping. Don't be ashamed of the shopping you do. If you've been saving, you have the right to spend it. You want to save it, go right ahead. It's your money. I'm not telling you how to live that life. Don't forget Facebook and Twitter, Tony Katz. The Cowboys are on.